This is Wolf's Campfire, and you're about to listen to 5 Dark Web Stories, number 15. You can also check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/wolfscampfire. Now with that said, whether you're sitting around a campfire, on the night shift, or even laying in bed, let my voice soothe your nightmares. I sell mystery boxes on the deep web, written by Lurking Horror Writer. I started doing it on a whim. My brother has an unhealthy obsession with online vloggers. I can barely go a day without him linking me to a video of someone taking part in some sort of challenge, or performing some social experiment. So, when the whole deep web mystery box trend started, I was one of the first to know. My brother must have sent me dozens of videos of annoying preteens opening up boxes filled with junk that they tried to pass off as creepy and sinister. When my brother asked me for my opinion, I told him that it combined all the boredom of an unboxing video with all the stupidity of a Tide Pod challenge. I added that most of them were probably making the boxes themselves, even I could do it. And that's when the wheels started turning. A quick search confirmed that this was a growing trend, with hundreds of people claiming to have opened up boxes containing everything from drugs, to murder weapons, to mysterious flash drives. Some vloggers even claimed that they had spent thousands of dollars on a single mystery box. Those were obviously fake. But what about the rest? Were they really people out there who would spend at least $100 for the chance to go viral? I bet that they would, and unfortunately, I was right. Putting the boxes together was easier than expected. I had some cardboard boxes stuffed in my closet that turned out to be the perfect size for the job. Some rusty screwdrivers proved perfect as my murder weapons. My desk drawer offered up a surprising number of old flash drives that I made mystery box ready by filling them with as many creepy videos as I could download. Finally, some expired sinus tablets provided me with some mysterious deep web drugs once I had peeled the labels off. Getting the website set up on the deep web was a little bit harder, but you can find an online tutorial for anything these days. By the time I was ready to go to bed, I was the proud owner of the Emporium of Mysteries. For $50 worth of Bitcoin, anyone could be the proud owner of a mystery box. Sure, the site looked like it had come straight out of the early 90s, but it was good enough at the time. I was in business. The next morning, I went looking for customers. Fortunately, my brother's messages had made me very familiar with the online vlogging community. I messaged a few of the smaller channels with some burner accounts I made and left a few comments on their latest videos. You should do a deep web unboxing. You know what would be really cool? Unboxing something from the deep web. I bet you'd get millions of views. I heard about this new place on the deep web called the Emporium of Mysteries. They sell mystery boxes there. You should check them out. Then, all I had to do was sit back and wait. By the end of the day, I had 6 purchases. Not much all put together, but enough to help put food on the table. By the end of the afternoon, I had the boxes ready to ship. I wasn't looking to scam these people after all. They got to make their stupid videos, and I got to eat. Everybody was happy. I sold a few more over the next few weekends, but eventually, interest died down, and life went on. My brother sent me more stupid videos, and I gradually forgot about my time as a deep web merchant. Until last Friday. When I got home from work, there was a package waiting for me outside my apartment door. When I picked it up and examined it, I realized that it was one of my mystery boxes. It looked like I had an unhappy customer, but it wasn't like they were getting their money back. I took it inside and opened it up. It was empty, save for a flash drive that I didn't recognize. I was curious what was on it, but I wasn't about to let some disgruntled hacker infect my computer. So, I dug out an old laptop that I hardly used anymore and plugged it in. It was full of pictures. Pictures of my hometown, of my apartment, and of me. Whoever sent me this had been following me, had been inside my home. Staring at those pictures, I started to realize just how out of depth I was. You see, not everything you find in the deep web is fake. There are some people out there who do sell real mystery boxes, and they are tired of scammers like me taking away from their profits. Thankfully, they are very generous people and want to give me a second chance. So, I am pleased to announce that the Emporium of Mysteries is under new management. Now, for the same low price, you will receive a genuine mystery box. It will include a special tool for my new partner's personal collection, along with a video instructing you in its use, co-starring myself. The body part or organ extracted during the video will also be included as a special memento. Supplies are limited, so search us out on the deep web as soon as possible. We look forward to your business. I Got Too Comfortable on the Dark Web, a story that changed my life. Written by Belta Bonsai. I Got Too Comfortable on the Dark Web, a story that changed my life. Download the Tor browser and do as you please, which is what I did. I was with my friend at the time, and that's where you become reckless. We were up late that night, past midnight, and we were watching scary dark web experiences on YouTube. Little did we know, this led us to a horrific experience, one we would never forget. "Damn, this shit is creepy," Daniel said. "Well, you know what this means. We're gonna try it for ourselves," I stated. What a bad decision looking back. What a bad decision, indeed. I proceeded to download Tor. A 5-minute wait, and it was downloaded, and we were set to go. Instantly, I searched Dark Web Red Rooms, but nothing too bad came up. I continued to do this for the next few weeks. Nothing strange except gore and nude images, which was nothing compared to the terrors we heard about on YouTube. And so, I dug deeper and deeper into this hidden side of the internet. Each time I exceeded, I became more confident. Now moving on to the night of the incident. I was at a sleepover with my friend Daniel. Remember him from the start? And so, we searched dark web chat sites, and there we found it. Chat for free. Online deep web chatting site. And so, I said, "Great, let's take a look at this then." Big mistake. Daniel was wary before we clicked on it, and I don't blame him now that I'm looking back. But I was overconfident. For the reason for me being like that was because during my time on the darker side of the internet, I didn't see anything bad. "Are you sure it's safe, Mike?" I replied with, "Yeah, totally. What's the worst that could happen?" And I clicked. Bang. I was hit with several pop-up ads instantly and my computer started running slow, but my computer was pretty old, so I thought, what was the worst that could happen? Once I had cleared of the stupid ads, I met a page saying, "Welcome to chat for free. Click start when you are ready." The loading circle on the screen lasted for quite a while until we met our first user. "You and Sam both like hockey," was written at the top. Our camera was on, but Sam's was not. All we could see was a blank screen, so we skipped off him. But you need to remember his username, SamTheMan666, and we'll get to that later. On our chat for free website, we met a couple of members, like usual, and a lot of blank screens. Our second time with SamTheMan666 concluded of an empty room. His camera was on, but no one was there. Then, in the chat box, it said, "Sam is typing." "Hey," showed up in the chat box. "What do I say, Dan?" I exclaimed. Dan seemed to be shaking quite a bit. He seemed in no mood to answer my question. "Hi," I wrote, low-key hoping for no response. "Sam is typing" appeared once again. "Where do you live?" Sam wrote. That shook both of us, so I just clicked off the website and cleared all search history immediately. So then, we fell asleep. We both lingered awake for a while thinking about Sam and who he really was. But eventually, we both fell asleep, leaving the computer facing us, and that was a bad idea. 3:20 a.m. I woke up, and the computer was on with chat for free open, but the website screen seemed a bit darker and more unnerving. I immediately woke Daniel up. We were not frozen with fear. As I slowly get closer to the computer, I see that we are in a chat with Sam the Man 666, but his face cam is, well, strange. His face cam is sitting in the chair, but it wasn't us. His cam showed both of us smiling. But I did not remember Dan smiling, nor me. A deep male voice spoke out our address. We were more paralyzed than ever, sitting and trembling in fear. I didn't have the power in me to do anything about it. It was like a nightmare, but sadly, it wasn't. On Sam's face cam, showed a shadow of a man behind us. I'd have to say about 6 feet for sure, but I can't quite remember. As the man gradually came closer behind us in his face cam, a weapon became visible. As he got closer, he raised it. As me and Dan sat smiling still, that smile was like something I've never seen before. The man swung his weapon at my neck, chopping it away. It was absolutely horrific. I felt like throwing up. The adrenaline made me spring up and snap the computer in half. I was that adrenaline-filled that it broke like butter. My heart racing, I put my hand on my head in fear. Dan was pale white and still like a corpse. I proceeded to stomp on the computer until it was completely in bits, and I began crying. Do you blame me? Still to this day, I dread thinking about anything on the deep web, especially that incident. Just a reminder that this was 3 years ago, and me and Dan haven't spoken in about 6 months or so because of COVID. But we rarely talk about the incident anymore. I have no plausible explanation for what happened with the face cam and all that, but I like to forget about it now. Oh, and one more thing I have learned from this is never go on the dark web. You don't know who is watching you. Deep Web Discovery, written by We Shouldn't Be Here. So, there is something I need to talk about, and I'm wondering if I should go to the police with this information, or if I should stay quiet for my own safety. I need to start this off by saying that I'm a 22-year-old girl. Let's just say my name is Alex. It's in reality something else, but out of fear for my own life, I will have to call myself by a different identity. Not only will my name be different, but every name of this story will be changed. I have a best friend named Stephanie. Her and I have been friends since sophomore year of high school, so roughly about 7 years. I met her in drama class, and I always admired her passion for theater. I only took that class because I heard it was easy. It wasn't until probably 6 months after meeting in high school that she invited me over to her house to hang out. We get up to her place and get out of the car to a super nice mansion-styled house. I'm pretty taken aback, to be honest, because she wasn't dressed from head to toe in designer-named merchandise like you'd think someone with this kind of money would be. I get out and ask her what her dad does for a living. You guessed it, a doctor. Looking back, maybe I should have paid better attention in class, but that's besides the point. We go into her house and right there in the doorway is her mom. She seemed a bit surprised to see me. I guess Stephanie wasn't too good on the communication aspect with her mom. Either way, her mom introduced herself and offered us a snack. And being 16, the perfect choice was, of course, a pepperoni pizza pocket. We get our food and scurry to Stephanie's room like two cockroaches trying to find darkness. We are eating and talking about what some people at school were up to today, and we were about to start our homework when I saw a figure walk by. I noticed it out of the corner of my eye, and I turned to Steph and asked her if someone else was here. She said, yeah, it's probably my older brother Steve. I paid no mind to it and carried on with my homework prep. I asked Stephanie if she had anything to drink because that hot pocket was not going down smooth. She said to go check the fridge. I remember thinking, this is my first time in your house, and the first time meeting your family. You can't get up or, at very least, go with me? But then again, we were only 16 and didn't quite develop the manners that we should have had. I creeped down their hallway and into the kitchen, trying to be silent, like a top-secret agent in an old spy film. I quietly opened the fridge and start looking at what they had to drink. It seemed like they had every flavor of soda ever made. Frickin' rich people. Then, out of nowhere, I hear from behind me, "What you looking for?" I jump back from shock. Stephanie's brother, Steve, was standing there looking at me. I just grabbed the first drink I saw and shut the fridge. I looked at him and silently held up the drink. He gives me a smile and sticks his hand out. Hi, I'm Steve.
Hi, I'm Alex.
We introduce ourselves, and everything he said after hello was a blur to me. I can't remember anything else he said, because I was so distracted with his striking good looks. He appeared to be 18, but he was in a very good shape, with a perfect white smile. I kind of oogled him, and giggled, and then said it was nice to meet him, and said, I have to head back to the room or Stephanie will think I got lost. He smirks and says, I hope to see you around more often. This was 7 years ago. Nothing ever came out of me and Steve, unless you call mild flirting something. But I could never bring myself to make a move. I valued my friendship with Stephanie too much to risk anything with her brother. But now, let's talk about the purpose of me telling you all of this. I was over at their house this past week. By now, I'm like a second child to Stephanie's parents. So, I just let myself in and say, hey mom, hey dad, to her parents. But this last time I was there, Stephanie was back from wherever she was yet. So, I do what I always do there. I went into Steph's room and turned on the TV. I noticed that Steve wasn't there either. Now, I need to mention something about Steve. Ever since I've known him, he's always kind of stayed to himself in his room with his door locked. No one really ever knew what he was doing in there, and frankly, I don't know if anyone even wanted to know. But as I waited, I poked my head out of Steph's room, and I noticed that Steve's door was slightly ajar, which it never usually was. I know this is going to sound bad, but my interest piqued and my curiosity heightened. I walked to his room and slowly pushed open the door. It creaks like an old horror movie door would, and I started snooping. Yes, snooping around his room. I told you I wasn't proud of this. I went to his bed and sat down. Nice little bounce to it. His sheets smelled like lavender. Of course, I had to check under his bed for naughty items. To my delight, he didn't have any. But then, I noticed his laptop was on his computer desk, along with a mess of papers around it. I took a few steps to it and opened it. To my surprise, it had no password on it. It just opened up to the home screen. I'm well aware that what I was doing was a total breach of privacy, but here's where things take a very, very dark turn. I open his internet browser. A window pops up saying, internet pages weren't closed down properly. Restore recent pages? I knew I shouldn't have, but I pressed yes. This website popped up, and didn't look like any type of website I'd ever seen. It looked a bit eerie. It looked like what you would imagine a dark and moist alley in New York would look like if it was an internet site. I didn't want to navigate on there in case Steve would later on check his history, so I just read what was in front of me. What I saw next made me sick to my stomach. It was a series of snuff films ranging from people of all ages, and I mean all ages, unfortunately, all the way to animals. I then realized that I had just stumbled across Steve looking on the deep web. It made me sick that someone would be looking at something so vile. And why was he looking at it? Was it just out of being curious? Because I know we have all looked at something weird before. It's just part of being human. Or was he looking at it for some sort of pleasure aspect? Then, I noticed another tab was open. I once again looked over my shoulder, and then clicked on the tab once the coast was clear. This is where I got really concerned. It was some deep web site about how to kill people in all different ways and how to get away with it. Could Steve be planning on killing someone? I know as humans, our minds go to some dark places and sometimes assume the worst case scenarios. So, I decided to try to brush it off as Steve being weird and curious, and I exited out of his internet and shut his laptop quickly. But that's when I noticed something else. Something major. I saw a yellow notepad underneath his laptop. Pulled it out, and on the front of it were a list of names. 7, to be exact. I can't tell you whose names were on it, but I can tell you one name that was mine. One of the names already had a single pen line through it. What does that mean? Did I just come across a hit list? And why is my name on it? Does Steve plan on killing me? What's up with the one name that's already crossed out?
Did Steve already carry out one of his hits? As I'm looking down on this paper, I hear a car door shut out front. It's Steve. I nearly puked from anxiety, and I scrambled to put everything back exactly where I found it. I hurry out and ran out of his room and start making my way back to Stephanie's room when I got caught with a, "Hey, cutie." I stand still in place, like I just saw a ghost. I turn to him and try to remember everything I learned in acting class and let out a, "Hey, Steve." He asked what I was doing, and I just let him know that I was waiting for Steph, but my mom called and I had to go home. He offers me a ride and I quickly shout out, "No, I'm fine." Then I scurry past him, and right before I leave, he says, "Hey." I stop and turn back to him. He says, "I'll see you soon," and then gives me that smile that I once found so charming. I'm home now, and I'm writing this. Do I go to the police? If I do and they do nothing, will he come after me for revenge? But if I don't, will I be looking over my shoulder for the rest of my life? I don't know what I should do. But if he did kill that guy on his list, I think he got away with it, thanks to whatever advice he found on the deep web.
Dark Web Horror Story, written by Olivia Lorraine 00.
So, I was laying in bed, home alone, and my parents were on a date, or at a friend's house or something like that. I don't really remember. They told me that I should start looking for jobs, given that I was 18 at the time, and hadn't figured out what I wanted to do with my career yet. I grabbed some of my parents' liquor and drank a bit. Not enough to get drunk, though. I know, so edgy, right? I laid down in my bed and started to surf the internet, not for jobs, but just for fun because I was bored. As I was surfing websites, reading one article after another, I sort of lost track of the time and what website I was on, and ended up on some website that I can't for the life of me remember the name of, but it looked like it was somewhat interesting. It had a black headline and said the title in red, so I started to scroll down the page. There were some videos that I had just assumed were ads, so I scrolled past them. Then, I stopped on a large-looking article and started to read it. It seemed pretty normal at first, but when I got near the end, it got very disturbing. This week's video will consist of our victims' arms being cut off and them being hung by their feet on a meat hook. This was the most requested as of last week. Enjoy. The computer screen turned black, and I assumed that my computer crashed. So, I waited for the home screen to be shown next, as it usually does when it crashes. But this didn't happen. Next, it showed a room that looked as if it were a basement. There was an operation table and a meat hook, plus some mechanical tape. I was confused at first, until I heard faint screaming coming from the background of the video, and a man was shown being carried by a heavily built man by the arms. They placed him on the operation table on his back, still holding down his arms. Then, another man with a white mask slowly walked towards the men with a circular saw in hand. At this point, I was freaking out, and tried to find an exit button to the video, but it was frozen under the screen. It was one of the things where you can't just look away. I stared at the screen as I heard his screams and unwillingly watched his arms get cut off. They grabbed him and hung him onto the meat hook by stabbing it into his feet. I threw up after the video. How can people be this sick in the head to be able to do this stuff, or watch it while enjoying it? I thought to myself in disbelief. I looked at the chat bar, and there was people commenting that they loved it, and that they needed to do more things like that. I felt sick and tried to turn off my computer, but it just wouldn't. I unplugged it as soon as a warning popped onto the screen that said, "You're next. We have your location, and you aren't safe anymore." I ran to grab a knife, and when I grabbed onto one, there was a loud bang on the kitchen window. I turned around to see a man peering into my window. He hit the window again with the back of the knife, breaking the window when he saw that I saw him, and I ran into my room, locking the door. I heard him run up the stairs, and my heart dropped the sudden he started banging on my door, and I felt my door caving in. The door broke, and I lost all hope as I was knocked out. The last thing I remember was waking up in the same room I had saw in the video. The rest was a blur.
My best friends and I went on the dark web and we were followed. Written by Maya Akay.
Me, Kaylee, Gabby, and Christian were almost killed, but before I can tell you why, I have to start from the beginning. March 30th, 7:25 p.m. My friends were at my house, playing around, and we wanted to do something scary, because we were in the mood. There weren't any haunted houses because it wasn't October, and Kaylee doesn't celebrate Halloween anyways. We decided that we would search up some scary things to do, and we came across a story about the dark web. Now, I heard many stories about the dark web, and personally, I didn't think it was that dangerous. Boy, was I wrong. So very wrong. We decided that we would go into a public place like a library and use the computers there so no one could come back to our house, just in case. Christian was on the computer as Gabby relayed the instructions to get on the dark web. Kaylee and I were joking around because we knew it was a dumb idea, but we went through with it anyways. Eventually, we got onto a website where random people posted links with drugs being sold, black screens, which we knew were jump scare videos, until we got onto this one page. It had a sinister vibe, but it was just a video we had to watch. Now, we didn't have to watch it, but being stupid teenagers, we decided to. It was a gruesome video of a man beating someone's head in with a bat, until it was all blood and brains mashed out on the ground. You could hear a faint weeping from what sounded like a female voice. Then we saw it. A girl walking out from the darkness crying. I stared for a while, not knowing what to do. I couldn't even speak. Then Kaylee started backing away from the computer. That's... She couldn't even finish her sentence because Christian had interrupted her saying, "That's the missing girl in the news." I was confused and I said, "What missing girl?" Then the camera changed direction and pointed towards a newspaper that showed her face, with a bold print saying, "Missing," above it. I stared for a while, and I started stammering. Turn it off now! Christian tried to press the power button multiple times, but nothing was happening. Then, the screens turned towards a piece of paper saying the library. Gabby started whispering, "We gotta go now. Look towards the bookshelf in the back corner." We all looked, and to my horror, there was somebody watching us. We got up and ran out the front, getting into my car, fumbling the keys to put it in the ignition, and I drove away with all my friends. I checked the rearview mirror to see that person again. I drove around for a while, and I was not going home for them to know where I live, and I only stopped a few times when we crucially needed gas. I then realized that calling the police right away was a grave mistake. Finally understanding what happened, I drove to the nearest station, but before I could unlock the door, someone was already trying to get in. "Where the hell did he come from?" I screamed, and Kaylee said, "There's more, way more." I looked behind the man who was frantically trying to open the door, when I saw more people coming from behind the trees next to the station. I thought there was nothing to do until the policemen in the station started to figure out what was happening and came out with their guns drawn, and another police officer guiding us toward the investigation room. After telling them what happened, the detective called us stupid for what we did, but there would be a police car outside my house if anything were to happen. Nothing has happened since then, and they ended up finding the missing girl with little to no wounds on her. I still didn't feel safe, so I moved into a house with Kaylee, Christian, and Gabby,